So good evening and welcome to tonight's Taizé service. I'm glad you took some time out of your schedule. After I open in prayer, we're going to do a couple of changes for tonight. First of all, I love Casting Crowns. And I know in December we played a song by them just to kind of set our prayer intention for the evening. And another one of my favorite songs is called The Well from Casting Crowns. So tonight, instead of The Sanctuary, which is your first song listed, we're going to play that song. And there was an extra song sheet up there with the words, if you'd like to look at the words while it's played, or if you'd like to pick one up if you found them meaningful on your way out. And also, we are going to be reading from Romans 7, verses 15 through 25 tonight. Other than that, everything else is as normal. So let's open in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful that these people, these children of yours, have come out tonight to be in your presence, to take time from their busy schedule, just to be quiet and have some time with you. And I pray, Lord, that each person here is set with an open mind and an open heart to hear what it is that you have in store for them, and may they be open to that. We say these and ask these in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind, leave it all behind. I have what you need, but you keep on searching. I've done all the work, but you keep on working. When you're running on empty and you can't find the remedy, just come to the well. You can spend your whole life chasing what's missing, but that empty inside, you just ain't gonna listen. When nothing can satisfy and the world leaves you high and dry, just come to the well. And all who thirst will thirst no more. And all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail. So leave it all behind and come to the way. Just come as you are. When your last prayer is spoken, just rest in my arms a while. You'll feel the change, my child, when you come to the well. It's all who thirst will thirst no more. And all who search will find what their souls long for. We'll try, but it can never fail. So leave it all behind and come to the well. Yeah. Leave it all behind. The world will try. Now that you're full of love beyond measure, your joy's gonna flow like a stream in the desert. Soon all the world will see the living water is found in me, 'cause you come to the well. Yeah. It's all who thirst will thirst no. It's all who search will find what their souls long for. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind.
Your pursuit of perfection.
Leave it all behind.
Your fear of rejection.
Leave it all behind.
Our reading tonight comes from Romans chapter 7, verses 15 through 25. Be at peace and silence, have you listened for the Holy One. What I don't understand about myself is that I decide one way, but then I act another, doing things I absolutely despise. So if I can't be trusted to figure out what is best for myself and then do it, it becomes obvious that God's command is necessary. But I need something more. For if I know the law but still can't keep it, and if the power of sin within me keeps sabotaging my best intentions, I obviously need help. I realize that I don't have what it takes. I can will it, but I can't do it. I decide to do good, but I don't really do it. I decide not to do bad, but then I do it anyway. My decisions, such as they are, don't result in actions. Something has gone wrong deep within me and gets the better of me every time. It happens so regularly that it's predictable. The moment I decide to do good, sin is there to trip me up. I truly delight in God's commands, but it's pretty obvious that not all of me joins in that delight. Parts of me covertly rebel, and just when I least expect it, they take charge. I've tried everything and nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. Is there no one who can do anything for me? Isn't that the real question? The answer, thank God, is that Jesus Christ can and does. He acts to set things right in this life of contradictions, where I want to serve God with all my heart and mind, but I'm pulled by the influence of sin to do something totally different. allow God to direct you to a word or phrase from the second reading of our text. What I don't understand about myself is that I decide one way, but then I act another, doing things I absolutely despise. So if I can't be trusted to figure out what is best for myself and then do it, I obviously becomes obvious that God's command is necessary. But I need something more, for if I know the law but still can't keep it, and if the power of sin within me keeps sabotaging my best intentions, I obviously need help. I realize that I don't have what it takes. I can will it, but I can't do it. I decide to do good, but I really don't do it. I decide not to do bad, but then I do it anyway. My decisions, such as they are, don't result in actions. Something has gone wrong deep within me and gets the better of me every time. It happens so regularly that it's predictable. The moment I decide to do good, sin is there to trip me up. I truly delight in God's commands, but it's pretty obvious that not all of me joins in that delight. Parts of me covertly rebel, and just when I least expect it, they take charge. I've tried everything and nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. Is there no one who can do anything for me? Isn't that the real question? The answer, thank God, is that Jesus Christ can and does. He acted to set things right in this life of contradictions, where I want to serve God with all my heart and mind, but am pulled by the influence of sin to do something totally different. During the silence following the third reading, you're invited to come forward to light a candle to signify a prayer intention or other understanding between you and God. You may also come to the kneeler to be anointed for healing for yourself or another. For those of you wishing to give a tithe or offering, you're welcome to do so as you come forward to light a candle, come for communion, or as you exit the worship center. What I don't understand about myself is that I decide one way, but then I act another, doing things I absolutely despise. So if I can't be trusted to figure out what is best for myself and then do it, it becomes obvious that God's command is necessary. But I need something more. For if I know the law but still can't keep it, and if the power of sin within me keeps sabotaging my best intentions, I obviously need help. I realize that I don't have what it takes. I can will it, but I can't do it. I decide to do good, but I don't really do it. I decide not to do bad, but then I do it anyway. My decisions, such as they are, don't result in actions. Something has gone wrong deep within me and gets the better of me every time. It happens so regularly that it's predictable. The moment I decide to do good, sin is there to trip me up. I truly delight in God's commands, but it's pretty obvious that not all of me joins in that delight. Parts of me covertly rebel, and just when I least expect it, they take charge. I've tried everything and nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. Is there no one who can do anything for me? Isn't that the real question? The answer, thank God, is that Jesus Christ can and does. He acted to set things right in this life of contradictions, where I want to serve God with all my heart and mind, but am pulled by the influence of sin to do something totally different. our final reading for tonight. What I don't understand about myself is that I decide one way, but then I act another, doing things I absolutely despise. So if I can't be trusted to figure out what is best for myself and then do it, it becomes obvious that God's command is necessary. But I need something more, for I know the law, but I still can't keep it. And if the power of sin within me keeps sabotaging my best intentions, I obviously need help. I realize that I don't have what it takes. I can will it, but I can't do it. I decide to do good, but I don't really do it. I decide not to do bad, but then I do it anyway. My decisions, such as they are, don't result in actions. Something has gone wrong deep within me and gets the better of me every time. It happens so regularly that it's predictable. The moment I decide to do good, sin is there to trip me up. I truly delight in God's commands, but it's pretty obviously that not all of me joins in the delight. Parts of me covertly rebel, and just when I least expect it, they take charge. I've tried everything, and nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. Is there no one who can do anything for me? Isn't that the real question? The answer, thank God, is that Jesus Christ can and does. He acted to set things right in this life of contradictions, where I want to serve God with all my heart and mind, but am pulled by the influence of sin to do something totally different. So when I was looking at the scripture for tonight, I love that one because to me, there's just tug of war going on within our own selves with this scripture. And I used to get so confused reading it. So this version happens to come from The Message, mainly because it's the one I could follow the best. But when I'm reading it, I could relate to it because how many times do you want to do the right thing and you know what the right thing to do is and you just do what you have always done in the past? So I thought tonight we would spend a little bit of time talking about decisions that will either help us grow closer to God and whatever it is that he wants us to serve him in that way, or decisions that lead us away from God and the purpose that he has for our lives. I'm participating in the Daniel Plan, the six-week church-wide study that we have going on right now, and its focus is on learning how to live a healthy lifestyle. It seriously is not about dieting. It's not about counting calories. We have not once mentioned calories in this series that we're doing. But what it's about is the five Fs: faith, food, fitness, focus, and friends. And the authors of the study, which are backed by brain experts, diet experts, nutritionists, health care guy, workout guys, and Rick Warren as the spiritual side. They say that the secret sauce is in the three items: faith, focus, and friends. That's the difference maker that this particular program has that other programs don't have. And following this plan has helped thousands because of those key pieces that are added. The underlying premise of the Daniel Plan is that for us to live the kind of lifestyle that God intended us to live, we have to honor and take care of our bodies. It's that simple. And doing so, as we take care of the temple that he gave us, then we're best able to do what he put us on this earth to do in the first place, which is to serve him, right, and to go make disciples. We can do that best when we're taking care of ourselves the best we can. Our spiritual health and then our physical well-being are very much intimately connected. Each of them can strengthen the other. So over the last 3 weeks, we are just 3 weeks in, just started our fourth week, I've been at a lot of crossroads for decisions to make. So I have my old self fighting a little bit with my new self as I was coming into this program. So one of the decisions I was faced with was, do I join a group or do I pass up this opportunity to begin making changes to live healthier? So actually, I'm 56 and I'm finally admitting that I'm not invincible. It took me till 56 to realize that. And my body is kind of speaking to me in ways, and it's telling me that, hey, by the way, you're out of kilter. And I'm giving you as many warnings as I can. And continuing to live unhealthy is going to have repercussions now, where I'm already experiencing them, and in the future. And it's my choice. Knowing, for me, owning it, I was 40 pounds overweight, and I had absolutely almost zero exercise routine in my life. And I was possibly the most undisciplined person at sticking with a plan for a healthier lifestyle. So I decided to participate, actively see, and be open to whatever God had for me in this 6-week journey. So that was decision one. Go ahead and realize where you are and make the decision to participate. Because I realized in the beginning, they tell us that we only need to make these small changes, just a small change. And you know that we've used that lamplight example. Just follow the path that's right at your feet, and he's going to guide you. It's not like you need neon signs right now or a football field lighted. You just need to know what that next step is. So in the plan, they tell us what those little steps are that you can take. I said, I can do that. So what I found out initially then was that taking those little small steps made a huge difference. One assignment was purging your pantry. All right, so you're supposed to go take out all this stuff that's going to tempt you. I took a picture because I had 2 big garbage bags full of junk food. And that was just taking out things that were going to tempt me. My husband and my daughter, they still have their junk in there, but that's okay, I don't see it. So that was number one, get rid of that. And I'm like, okay, my trigger foods are gone, I did that. Then I joined on a hike, and guess what, it was fun. I got to be with a lot of people traipsing through the snow. We were out in the trails, and we had a great time, and I made it. And eating whole foods and versus processed foods, I could do that too. It became easier. So then I was faced with another decision because there's an optional part of the plan that's called a 10-day detox. All right, that decision was a little bit more difficult than taking a walk in the snow or eating carrots instead of chips, because the detox involved 10 days of no sugar, caffeine, dairy, or gluten. Completely for 10 days, or if you're really gung-ho, you can go 40 days for the whole time of the program. And the whole purpose of it is your body needs to get reset because you've been taken over by all these chemicals and things that you've put into your body. And it's taken over, and it's changed your brain and how it thinks. So this detox allows your body to get reset and have kind of a clean slate for your brain to work with. Well, personally, I thought, okay, I'm in it and I've made a few changes. Let me just go all the way in, and I decided to give it a try. And for me, it was a huge decision because I consider sweets and salty snacks, it's one of my primary food groups. It replaces fruits and vegetables as what I go to. So I'm not a fan of fruits and vegetables. My cup of coffee in the morning, I'm not black coffee. Give me 3 sweet and lows and about that much, like 75% coffee and 25% creamer. That's my idea of coffee in the morning, and you're asking me to give that up. So, and gazing through a pantry in the fridge for the most unhealthy choices I can possibly have is something I excel at doing. So when you ask me to give these up for 10 days, it's like, holy cow. But today marks day 10 of the detox. And the most amazing thing about all of it is how easy it has been to do. I never expected to be successful at giving up those things that I love. In a way, those were my food idols, right? My food was my idol. And I thought that the 10 days would be filled with bad moods and low energy and longing for what I was missing out on. In fact, I warned the people that I work with, just beware, I'm doing this detox and I don't know how it's going to be with me. So just in advance, I'm apologizing. How could the person who eats processed food and takeout is after the quick fix, isn't a fan of any food that's green, actually give up these things and try to choose healthy? How do you do that? And for me, there was, as I look back on it, one answer and one answer only. And it was the focus of having God be part of that plan. Because I've never included him at all in my physical lifestyle changes. For some reason, I'm thinking I'm supposed to do that on my own. I don't know why. He's been very actively involved in like my spiritual and my emotional healing journeys, completely involved in that, and I knew the benefit. But for some reason, it just never dawned on me to invite him into a healthier lifestyle. So the difference maker was that there's something about setting my mind on doing something that's going to help me serve God better. That was the difference maker. It wasn't about eating less calories, and it wasn't about getting to a certain size, although that's going to be a really nice byproduct if I get there, and when I get there. But it's really about being able to be better able in the body I'm in to serve him for as long as I can, as much as I can. And that seemed to help me keep my focus and stay on track. And the relying on God during the transition to this healthier living, it's been monumental, just knowing that he's there and having him in my life, because I expected temptations to just bombard me. I expected everywhere I turned around, my old things that I love, my go-to things, to just take me down. But instead, God's given me this ability to really be present around my typical temptations without as much as a pang of desire for them. For example, Super Bowl, right? What would I love to have for a Super Bowl? Queso dip and Fritos. Nope. Chili, that's what my family had. But no, I had a little bit of the ground beef before all the fun stuff was added. And I was completely happy. So I have had meals where my family is eating some of my favorite foods, but aren't quite yet ready to be on my plan. I'm not ready for that. And the best part was, he was right alongside me, and there was no temptation whatsoever. Even on a day I went to Costco hungry. Have you ever done that? Costco on a hungry stomach, on the day before the Super Bowl, when there are snacks for Super Bowls in every one of the stations that you're sampling, and I didn't partake. Because literally, while I'm there, I'm praying to God, I'm starving, I'm hungry, please take this away from me right now, and I was able to get through it. So it was quite amazing. So much of the decision to participate in that Daniel plan, and then also to do the detox, for me was definitely a leap of faith. Because I didn't know what to expect. I heard many of the positive potential outcomes that I hadn't previously experienced. So for me, I was kind of doubtful. But what I've come to find out is how spot on those experts are. You know, the one that wrote the book, which is in the lobby, by the way, if you want a copy. But go figure, those experts were spot on what to do. Imagine that. They know what they're talking about. And it's more about me surrendering my ways of thinking to those that God has put in places using their gifts and talents to develop this healthy lifestyle plan. It was about surrender. This whole thing is about surrendering. So this weekend, I was kind of pondering about the last 3 weeks and what's transpired. This shift that my lifestyle choices have made, and it hit me that the hardest decision, the one that I struggled with the most, was the decision to say yes. Just the decision to say yes, to do it. The decision to surrender my world, as I know it, into God's hands. The decision to make a needed change in my life, to actually do something. So somehow after saying yes, the other choices about doing the plan and about doing the detox and about trying to stay with the program, all those things came easy. They became easier. They fell into place. And then living from a place of healthier choices, it became something I no longer tried to do alone. Before, it was just me. I know God is right there with me, and he's there currently while I'm staying on track. And guess what? I'm probably going to slip up while I'm on this. And he's still going to be there when I slip up. Because he's going to let me know that mistakes are just part of life, and the mistakes are what's going to teach me what was going on in that moment that I succumbed to a temptation. And I'm going to learn from that. And it's not about being a failure. It's about learning. And then let's get back on that healthy lifestyle and continue on. Not something to be negative about. So my question to you then is, because this is actually about you guys, what areas or situations are you facing that God is waiting for you to say yes? He's just waiting for you to say yes. Maybe you've been getting nudges. Maybe it's something that has been on your heart and you've just not known what to do. And he's waiting for you just to say yes to him and to surrender to whatever it is that he has to lead you to kind of lay your cares and your concerns right into his lap. Where are you excluding asking God for help in decisions that you're facing? What's holding you back from surrendering all, capital letters, all of you in your life, even those little hidden places that you like to keep away from people and you think you're hiding them from him? You're not. So what is it that keeps you hiding those things instead of rolling them out to him and asking for it? So that next small step might actually be a huge step in the right direction, but it does require a choice, and it's always your choice, right? He's kind of patiently waiting for us. So my request to you is to take that leap of faith into God's awaiting arms and to see what he has waiting for you, because he has this amazing way of meeting you right where you are, right where you are and giving you exactly what he knows you need, not necessarily what you think you need, but he's waiting to give you what it is, and he knows your need. And he'll set you right on that path for your life, and the choice is yours. Thank you. Tonight, we are joined by Reverend Joe Santiman to help us do communion. Thank you, Reverend Joe.
Hear now the good news, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We are reminded, as we think of this moment you have tonight, to be at one with your God. You have the symbol of light before you. But there's yet even a greater symbol. For in the bread and the wine, there is the constant reminder that Christ died and rose again for our sins. So hear now these words. Let us pray. Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, you made us in your image to love and to be loved. And when we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. By the suffering, death, and resurrection of your only Son, Jesus Christ, you delivered us from slavery to sin and death and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit, so that we are reminded that on the night in which Christ gave himself up for us all, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke that bread. And he said to his disciples, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks to you, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. So now pour out your Holy Spirit on us, on these gifts of bread and wine, and make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. So by your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory be yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence of the children of God, may we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The words have been offered. The invitation has been given. And you are invited to come and receive the most wonderful gift symbolized for us in bread and wine. Now you are aware that this is a communion where everyone is invited. The key ingredient is the acceptance of Christ as Lord and Savior. It is also important for us to know that we do it a little differently. You will be given a piece of bread, you take the bread, and you dip it in the wine, and the words will be offered. So we invite you, and I would assume right here, to come and partake.
Thank you.
The act has been done, O Lord. We are at one with you. So by the indwelling of your Spirit, guide us and direct us as we leave this place, that we will be constantly reminded of your great love for us and the care that we receive that we can share for Christ's sake. Amen.
As you leave tonight, go knowing how much you are loved and how much God is just waiting for you to say yes and to help carry and guide you through whatever it is that's in your heart. Go in peace.